All right, so of course, obviously a day removed from the big announcement, you're going to go full-time in IndyCar. Just how does it feel to you're going to be a part of this large field that has a mixture of young guys and established veterans that are still on top of their game?
I'm excited. I mean, I think that I'm in a good place being with Dale Coyne Racing, Rick Ware Racing, that obviously they had a good season last year with David Malukas as a rookie, and he had some good finishes, and I mean, especially as a rookie, you don't have too high expectations of what we can do, but the fact that he was able to finish on the podium there at Gateway was pretty impressive, and I think that that would be on the table for myself. I think that I have a good enough car, and I've been working on my skills this offseason as well to try and get better and be ready for the season.
Now, of course, you're in the Rick Ware side of things with Coyne. Obviously, they had Grosjean and Sato the past couple of seasons. What does it say that they bring in a guy like you that came from the road to Indy ladder compared to established guys that were in F1, like those two aforementioned drivers?
I think it speaks well of the road to Indy. I mean, the fact that, we've seen so many rookies do so well in previous years. You look at guys like Colton Herta, Pato O'Ward, that are stepping up from the road to Indy into IndyCar and doing that well. David, I think, will be another example of that. I mean, he had such a good season last year. The fact that they're willing to take a chance on a young driver like myself, I think, speaks highly of the progression that the series has made to prepare drivers for that next level. But it's kind of cool. You know, David and I will be the two youngest drivers on the field, so it'll be interesting to see how we can stack up against the veterans.
Of course, last season, you finished runner-up in the, what was used to call the Indy Lights behind Linus Lundqvist. Of course, you hit your stride in the final week of the season with the win at Laguna Seca. What just clicked for you that weekend at a treacherous track like that that has a lot of elevations, a lot of unique corners?
You know, I don't think that was the first weekend that we had a chance to win. I think Road America would have been another opportunity, but I mean, that race was a bit chaotic with the red flag in the middle and the delayed restart. So there was other opportunities available for us to go out there and have a weekend like we had at Laguna. But everything just came together. I mean, that's the thing with racing is that in order to win, you have to have all the right variables under control and then still get lucky. So it just worked out well that I was able to win there at Laguna. And that's a track that I've historically done well at. And I've really enjoyed. I mean, the overall layout is pretty impressive with the corkscrew and everything. So it makes it for a fun race.
Of course, the track is obviously, if I recall, they're going to repave it. So it's going to add probably a unique challenge to it. But of all the tracks that you race, which one just kind of suits you best? You mentioned that sometimes luck is a factor, but also things have to unfold to your favor.
Yeah, I think that historically speaking, the tracks that I've done the best at are the ones with a lot of elevation change. Road America was a track we did well at. Laguna Seca is a track we did well at. Mid-Ohio, up until this last year, has been a track that I've done well at. So maybe more technical tracks where everything flows together a little bit. And also street courses. I mean, street courses are some of my favorite. Detroit, I'm sad to see the Belle Isle Grand Prix go off the schedule, but I'm excited to see what the new downtown circuit will be. But that was a track that I really enjoyed just because the walls added another level of difficulty. And if you don't trust your car and trust your engineer to keep it consistent and make it where you need it to be, then it's hard to go fast around there.
Absolutely. It's going to be curious to see how Detroit will unfold with obviously being in a different location this time around. Now, of the tracks you've never competed, which ones excite you? Because sometimes we've seen rookies run the whole schedule, including ovals. There are some that are more road and street course expert. What track excites you that you haven't competed for coming up?
Obviously, the Indy 500. That's a bucket list race, I think, for just about any driver. So definitely looking forward to that in May. But also Long Beach. Long Beach is a track that I've looked at for a long time and admired, and just because it's West Coast, you know, being a West Coast kid a little bit, I like all the races out there, and you know, Long Beach has got such a history of racing there. It's kind of exciting to be able to go and experience that and be a driver in the field.
Absolutely, with being out west, those ones always draw an interest for me, like Long Beach, and of course, Portland, which is the closest track to me. That said, you obviously been competing in karts and also the road to Indy. I would have remiss to mention that you also had a very brief stock car career, because I think the first time I've heard of your name was in Meridian in 2018 when you drove the West race. So how that deal kind of came about when you had that very brief stock car career?
Yeah, so the reason I did the Can-Am West Series there was because that was kind of my transition year from karts to cars. That was 2016, I think, was the first year that I did that. And I wanted to do everything. I wanted to make sure that what I committed to was what I wanted to do forever. So I did go-kart racing in Europe. I did the Open Wheel Series here in the U.S. I did the Can-Am West Series. I did dirt car racing. I did a little bit of sports cars as well, just like at the Bondurant Driving School. And so I wanted to figure out which sort of car fit my driving style, which one did I find the most interesting. And so that's why I selected open wheel racing, just because it felt the most similar to what I've been doing in go-karts. But the NASCAR opportunity came about just because it was a local event being in Idaho at Meridian Speedway. And it was a good opportunity. So we took it and tried it out and saw what it's all about.
Absolutely. It still feels odd that it was been 5 years since I covered that race in Meridian. I haven't been back because obviously I've been kind of pick and choose which events I go to and travel and all that stuff. Obviously, my main focus is on covering IndyCar and NASCAR and all that jazz. So it's kind of, that's where all my concentration has been. So I figured to ask that because I've been curious how that deal came to be, especially and when you look back at it, it was like you mentioned a transition period, and now 5 years later, you're now looking at competing with 26 other full-time cars and then maybe more, and of course 32 others at Indianapolis. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now when it comes to, normally I ask drivers this sometimes, is what kind of is the psychological aspect of racing? How do you get yourself prepared on race day, ready for the big task at hand?
I think it's just like any other sport. Being prepared means that you're doing the work away from the racetrack. But leading up to the event, I mean, there's a lot of data downloading that happens with my engineer or whoever else is there at the event that I can go over, past races with. Also video footage of other drivers and techniques that they use, or patterns that we see, or trends that we see of them being successful or not. So that's usually what the lead up is looking like. And then, you know, my faith has been a big part of who I am and my success. And I think that I attribute a lot of my mental capacity to that. And, you know, I think that having a faith and believing in something allows me to take a load off when I need to. And it gives me something to focus on and lean on in those difficult days. You know, racing, I always say, has the highest of highs and lowest of lows, unless you have something to keep you humble or confident in the middle of all that. Your identity can't be tied to just the results. So that's why my faith is so important to me, because I know that my identity doesn't lie in that, and it lies in something greater. So
totally, and I think I read somewhere that you mentioned the people that come along your way have been an instrumental part of your racing career. Is that definitely the case? There's like more than just one person? I've heard you brought up the faith and all that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely more than one person. I mean, when I speak of my faith, I mean faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us and the forgiveness of sins and what that means for the way that we should live and how we can live. So that's what I mean by my faith. But as far as people that have come along the journey with us, I mean, my manager, Peter Rossi, has been a huge part of my career, just having an insight into the industry with his son, Alexander, and, you know, using their same techniques and tools to get Alexander in the car for myself. But also, you know, my parents have been very instrumental in my career. My dad was my mechanic all the way growing up in go-karts, and my grandpa as well. And my mom is now my momager, as we like to call her, my mom and my manager. She has an interest in who I am as a person as well as my career. So, you know, there's been multiple people along the way as well, just in different teams, driver coaches, engineers that have brought success to myself and taught me a lot. So I attribute a lot of who I am to those that I've been surrounded by.
Absolutely. It's kind of how I go about it. It's more than one person that's helping a lot of factors. Now, another one that I typically would ask when I do features like this is musical taste. What is kind of your music taste that best describes you?
Oh, man. That's a tough one because I've gone through different stages. You know, I grew up in Idaho, and so I definitely have a little bit of a country phase in me. But more recently, I don't know if you know the band, but Surfaces is a band that I've really enjoyed. I went to their concert last year here in Indianapolis, and their lead singer is Forrest Frank, and he's been releasing some new stuff lately that I've been eating up. So I guess it's chill pop, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what you would call it, but I like it.
For sure, I'll have to definitely look into that group, because right now, like, seems like everyone goes through a phase. Like, my phase is mostly classic rock. It's been there, but I'm more at, like, metal, pop, like, more on the independent side of things, not the mainstream type, which obviously rock music and mainstream is kind of, it's hard to judge these days, because you either base it on top 40 or you just base it on popularity. So, if there is one competitor in the IndyCar grid that you're excited the most to compete against, to go toe-to-toe with, which one, who would it be and why?
That's a trick question, because there's too many. you know, there's been several drivers that I've always looked up to as I've come up through the ranks. Joseph Newgarden being one, Scott Dixon being one, Rossi, of course, just because I've known him, and I feel like I can beat him, maybe on the right day, but, I mean, more recently, some of the most exciting drivers on the grid, I think, have been Scott McLaughlin, Rinus VK. Those are all guys that I look forward to racing against, and I think it's just because the field is so stacked with drivers, and anyone can win on any given weekend, so I think it'll be fun to have some rivalries in there, but definitely being able to race champions in the industry and Indy 500 winners will be exciting.
All right, for my final question, if there's any advice you would give to young aspiring competitors, what would it be, and what would it be?
To young aspiring competitors, I would probably tell them to be consistent and have fun. If you're consistent in everything that you're doing, creating habits, you're going to get a lot further than, you know, a short burst of the hardest work that you can possibly give at different times in your life. Being consistent allows you to grow small amounts over time, and you're going to make bigger leaps. It's more like the turtle and the hare, right? I'd rather be the turtle that gets there at the end of the race than the hare that quits before he finally finishes. And then having fun. Obviously, passion's a big part of why we do what we do. And I think without that passion, you're not going to be able to go through those hardships, go through those difficult times that you're going to have to go to. If you're having fun, you're doing something right. But don't forget on the bad days that it is fun. This is what you enjoy. This is the passion that you have. So don't give it up.